Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is November the 20th. We're in Shmuel in Perek Yud-Tes, chapter 19. We finished the Perek last time, but we had a bunch of loose ends at the end that we had to cover. So we're going to read again from Pasuk Yud-Ches, verse 18, to the end. I know we read it once before. We'll refresh our memories, and then we'll discuss the parts that we still need to cover. So remember that David has already run away once. That was to his house. And that worked for a short time. Actually, it didn't work at all. He had to run away from there, and then Yonasan saved him in the field and got him back to the way it was with his father-in-law, with Shaul. But then the second time... I got my chronology here mixed up. David was in peril for his life, and Yonah's son had him hide in the field. And then after that, he got attacked again. He ran home, and this time he had to run away from his home. Michal had to save him. And now he runs to Shmuel. So, in Pasuk Yud-Ches, verse 18.
Chapter 19,
yes. David ran by Imalate, and he escaped by Yavoel Shmuel HaRamah. So he came to Shmuel in Ramah. Vayagedlo Eskel Asher Asal of Shaul. He told Shmuel everything that Shaul did to him. So he evidently Shmuel didn't know everything, and David explained to him everything that Shaul did. Now, if he explained to him everything that Shaul did, we have to presume that he explained to him in detail what happened, which means that now Shmuel's understanding of the situation is superior to our understanding of the situation. And he knows what's going on, fully. He understands that Shaul is being beset by a Ruach Ra, by an evil spirit, and that it's not possible anymore to trust that Shaul will come back to his senses and remain that way. Because that happened once, and then Shaul again, when the Ruach Ra hit him, he attacked David again. So now the question is what to do. So we mentioned last time that what I would have thought Shmuel would do, since Shmuel is the supreme authority, even though he doesn't have the official authority, but who's going to go against Shmuel? Shaul's not going to go against Shmuel. So I would have thought that Shaul would simply protect David and tell Shaul to leave him alone. But that's not what happens. Instead, Vayelech hu uShmuel, he and Shmuel went. He means David and Shmuel went. Vayeshvu b'Nayos, and they dwelled in Nayos. Now, we pointed out last time that it doesn't say Vayelchu hu uShmuel. He and Shmuel went. Vayelchu would be the plural verb. It says in the singular. Mm-hmm. And he, singular. Whenever you find two people with a singular verb, what Rashi tells us in Chumash is that it means that the first person is the main person, and the second one is a secondary person in what's happening. So that here, Vayelech hu uShmuel, he and Shmuel went, means that he, David, was the main force, the main impetus for the going, rather than Shmuel. This wasn't that Shmuel then took David somewhere. It's David then apparently had an idea that Shmuel went along with. So he and Shmuel went, and they dwelled in Nayos. Where is Nayos? So the Gemara tells us that Nayos is not referring to a place, but rather it is referring to No Yoy Shel Olam, Nun Vav Yud Yud, Nun Vav Yud Vav, No Yo Shel Olam, the beauty of the world. Noy means beauty, Nun Vav Yud means beauty. The beauty of the world, which means, where is the beauty of the world? Even more specific than that, the Beis HaMikdash. The temple is the beauty of the world. Now, was there a Beis HaMikdash at this time? No. The Mishkan had been in Shiloh, was destroyed, and now it was in Nov, which will eventually be destroyed. Not yet. It's still in Nov. But they went to Nayos. They went to the place where the Beis HaMikdash is to be built, which is in Yerushalayim, which is on Har HaBayis, on Har HaMoriah, on the Temple Mount. That's where they went. Why did they go there? Says the Gemara, they went to figure out where is the exact location of the Beis HaMikdash. Where should it go? Meaning that you've got a whole mountain there, so we have a certain idea of where the Beis HaMikdash is because we still have a wall. So we can pinpoint sort of where the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be. They didn't have a wall. They just had a mountain. So where on the mountain does it go? And they went through, they took out, it says, the Gemara says, they took out a Sefer Yehoshua. They took out the book of Joshua. And they read through it to try to figure out where is the exact place where it goes. And they made certain observations and how the Psukim read. And they realized that it has to go here, there, and they figured it out, that it goes in a particular spot. Now, whether they physically went there or whether they talked about it, it sounds like they were still in Ramah. They had not gone to, even though I said before they went, they didn't actually go to the Temple Mount. They were still in Ramah, which is Shmuel's place. But this is what they were being involved with. They were discussing where to put the Beis HaMikdash. And it was from this discussion that David later knew where the Beis HaMikdash was to go. Because later on, even though David doesn't build the Beis HaMikdash, it's built by whom?
Shlomo.
By his son Shlomo. But David certainly wants to, and he begins the process of doing it. He purchases the land where it's supposed to go. That's going to be all the way to the end of Shmuel Beis. So the how does David know where it goes? From here. This is what happens here. So evidently, he's running away from Shaul. He's running for his life. He comes to Shmuel. He tells Shmuel what's going on. But evidently, David had an idea. He wasn't running to Shmuel for amnesty. He wasn't running to Shmuel so that Shmuel would protect him. He was running to Shmuel because he had an idea of how to save himself from Shaul, or maybe not even how to save himself, but what to do now that Shaul was out to kill him. And here's what we should do. Let's discuss where the Beis HaMikdash goes.
But why now?
Why now?
Time.
Why now?
Time.
That's the question.
When Shaul's chasing
right.
Him.
That's the question.
Is it because he knew Shmuel was alive?
You gotta wait.
Take advantage of it?
You gotta wait. We'll see. Hold on. But that's the obvious problem here. What is going on? Okay. Vayugad l'sholem, I was told to Shaul, saying, Hine David b'Nayos b'Rama. David is in Nayos in Ramah. He's in Ramah. Now, I don't know if this time it means the place Nayos, meaning maybe there was a specific location in Ramah called Nayos, or whether he was also told to Shaul that they were involved in Nayos, in Noyo Shel Olam, in the beauty of the world, involved in figuring out the location of the Beis HaMikdash. That it was told to Shaul that that's what they were doing. Vayishlach, so now Shaul knows where David is. He wants to kill him. Vayishlach Shaul malachim lakacha, says David. So Shaul sent messengers to take David. Vayares lahakas hanavim nibim, and these agents that he sent, they saw the Secret Service, or he sends the FBI to go get David, and or maybe it was a SWAT team, and they see this group of prophets that are prophesying. Ushmuel omed nitzav aleihem, and Shmuel standing over them. Vati al malachei Shaul ruach Elokim. So now on the agents of Shaul was also the Spirit of God. They also began to prophesy. So now they're not going to kill David. They're not going to take David. They've now become prophets all of a sudden. As they're running to get David, they're waylaid by prophecy. They become prophets.
What makes them?
So you've got to keep going. Hold on.
Good question.
Let's keep going. So now they become prophets. They become prophets all of a sudden. So they're not going to kill David anymore. They're not going to take David. Vayagidu l'Shaul. So they told to Shaul what happened. Now it's not clear who told to Shaul. Was it these? Did they come back and tell Shaul? Or was it then another people who witnessed what happened told him? Whatever it is, he gets word. Vayishlach malachim acherim. So he sends a second group of agents. Vayisnabu gam hema. They also became prophets. Vayosef Shaul, so Shaul continued. Vayishlach malachim shelishim. He sends a third group. Vayisnabu gam hema. They also become prophets. So Shaul is not taking no for an answer. He realizes it's not happening. He sends a first group, a second group, a third group. And he keeps trying. But even after the three failed attempts, still, Chaf Beis 22, Vayelech Gam Hu HaRamasa. Now he himself went to Ramah. So he figures, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. So he goes himself to do it. Vayavoad bor hagadol asher baseichu. He comes to the great pit. We mentioned a great pit would be like a water hole on the road. And it is in Seichu. Seichu is a place on the way to Ramah. We mentioned last time, why is it mentioned? Why do we have to know the place, the name of Seichu? We'll talk about that presently. Vayishal, and he asked, Vayomer, he said, Evo Shmuel v'David, where are Shmuel and David? We pointed out last time, that's a ludicrous question. He knows exactly where Shmuel and David are. It was told him they were in Nayos Barama. He knows exactly where they are. So what kind of question is this? Vayomer, and he said, meaning whoever was talking to him said, Hinei b'Nayos Barama. Behold, where are they? They are in Nayos Barama, which Shmuel already knew. Vayelech Sham el Nayos Barama. So he went there. Where did he go? Again, in case you forgot, to Nayos Barama. And on him also came the spirit of Hashem. He went and he was prophesying until he came to Nayos Barama. The Malbim points out that Shaul got the prophecy earlier than they did. Everybody else got the prophecy when they got to Nayos Barama. Shaul gets it on his way to Nayos Barama. That's how powerful the prophecy was for him. Va'yipshat gam hu begadav. He also took off his clothes, which means his royal garments. He dressed himself in the garments of a commoner. Va'yisnabe gam hu lifnei Shmuel. He also prophesied before Shmuel. Va'yipol arom kol hayom ahu v'chol halayla. And he fell unclothed all that day and night. Unclothed here means that he fell into like a trance-like state all that day and all that night. Because he was prophesying. Again, the Malbim points out, Shaul's prophecy outdoes everybody else's. Everybody else came and prophesied when they were there, just for the moment. He starts to prophesy before he gets there, and when he gets there, he continues prophesying throughout the entire day and night. Al-Kain Yomru, therefore, people said, Hagam Shaul Banavim. Shaul's also amongst the prophets, which is a repeat, as we mentioned last time, of what happened when he became king. That he went and Shmuel told him, you're going to meet a group of prophets and then you'll know what to do. And he got there and he became a prophet himself. And then people said, Hagam Shaul Banavim. Is Shaul also one of the prophets? And this seems to now be a throwback to that moment in time when Shaul became king. This is a key point, that this seems to mimic exactly the situation all the way back when Shaul became king. It's also important to note that this was never meant to prevent David from being killed, because the very next pasuk, which we will pick up next week, is Vayivach David Minayos Barama. David runs from Nayos Barama. He knows he's not safe. So even though Shaul came and became a prophet, David still runs away. So this was not meant to be some sort of a permanent solution to the problem. So then what is going on over here? What was meant to happen over here? And why does he continue to run away? What exactly happened here that is so significant?
The concept of soul goes into prophecy. What does that mean? Usually I see a prophet telling people, you know, you get it.
Prophecy only means a connection with Hashem. That's all it means.
Okay, it doesn't necessarily have to speak to anyone.
No. It means Hashem connects with you in a way that is beyond what is normal. And normally, we don't have a direct connection with Hashem. We try to connect as much as we can. We try to feel Hashem's presence as much as we can. But there's no direct connection. A prophet, there is a transcendency where they feel, they know. It's a clear knowledge that I have connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that has transcended everything else. When that happens to any prophet other than Moshe Rabbeinu is the one exception to the rule. Anybody else, it either happens when they are asleep, or if they are awake, they go into a trance-like state. Because the physical body can't really handle that connection to Hashem. Ever since the first sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas, that means that there has to be death in order for the soul and body to go up to Hashem. It cannot take the body with it until the resurrection of the dead. But in this world, there can't be the body moving on to being connected to Hashem the way the soul can. Therefore, when there's prophecy, the body has to be negated. So it's either negated because the body is asleep, or it's negated because the body is in a trance-like state, other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one and only one who was able to speak to Hashem as if he was taking a stroll in the park. It was a direct, easy conversing, just like we're talking to each other over here. That's what it was for Moshe Rabbeinu. But he's the one exception. The trance-like state, though, should not be confused with a muddled state.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an intellectually trance-like state. Intellectually, a prophet is clear. He's right on. He knows exactly what's happening, fully cognizant of everything that's happening. But his physical body can't endure the experience. So he ends up being in a trance-like state, or another way to put it is he appears to be drunk or inebriated, meaning his body is not functioning under his control. But his mind is crystal clear. It's not a drugged-up state. That's not what it is. The body is unable to function, but the mind is perfectly clear. So that's what it means that he becomes a prophet.
So is that what happened in the 40 days of Moshe? The soul was all-powerful in that he was in Hashem's presence. His body did not need any fuel of any sort.
It's true. His body did not need to eat or drink. It's true. Because the body became so totally subsumed by the soul. But in his case, rather than the body becoming limp, lifeless, uncontrolled, his body became a tool that the soul took over. And was able to use as a regular body, being able to move around. He was able to write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was able to do whatever he had to do. It was all, you know. So what is happening over here? This is obviously profound. The place of the Beis HaMikdash is something which we can't understate. We can't overstate, I should say. How important that is. Plus, I mentioned to you last time that it is from this episode that Doeg HaAdomi, the great nemesis of David, who already has it in for David, who already has spoken Lashon Hara about David and has already given him trouble, but this episode seals his intense jealousy of David. This is it. Because of David conversing with Shmuel about the place of the Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we understand this? Now, the place of the Beis HaMikdash is in whose portion? Which tribe?
Binyamin.
And Sheol is from?
Binyamin.
Very important. The place where it goes is Binyamin. When they open the book of Yehoshua and they search through for where the Beis HaMikdash should go, they discovered that the term, in the book of Yehoshua, there's a description of a lot of the areas of Eretz Yisrael. And in each portion, whether it's Ephraim's portion or the Yehuda's portion, it says that the land went up and the land went down and up and down, describing different places. In Binyamin's portion, there is never the verb to go down. It's always to go up. And since we know the Beis HaMikdash is Gavoa Mikol Eretz Yisrael, it's the highest place, that's spiritually, physically, it seems to also be, although I don't know how they're counting, how they're measuring height. But because of that, they understood it goes in the portion of Binyamin. And from there, they understood where it went, and then they figured out which mountain, etc., and they figured out where on the mountain it should go. So David here is running away. He's afraid for his life. Michal tells me, you got to run or you're going to die. You're going to be killed. He runs. He comes to Sheol, he comes to Shmuel, he says, listen, Shmuel, here's what's going on. Shaul's after me. Sheol is not of sound mind. I want to digress for a moment, come back to this in a second. I just want to point out to you, I want to emphasize this point. You can't be a prophet. You can't be a prophet unless
you have a functioning mind, a clear mind.
But more than that. More than that.
Sane.
You've got to be, it's more than sane. You've got to be pretty righteous. You can't be a prophet if you're evil. With the exception of Bilam, you can't be a prophet if you're evil. If you're a man who's out to murder someone, you will not become a prophet because you're an evil man. If Sheol becomes a prophet, and not only does he become a prophet, but he gets a more profound, more powerful, more long-lasting prophecy than anybody else who showed up over there. Obviously, Sheol is still Sheol. For all that we're learning over here about his jealousy of David and chasing David, trying to kill David, he's still Sheol. I pointed this out to you when I pointed out to you that at the end of his life, Shmuel's going to tell him that when you die, Shmuel's already dead, and he's speaking to Shaul, when you die, you're going to be with me. Gemara says, you're going to be with me in Olam Haba. Where I am in Olam Haba, the place I am, I occupy, you're going to be with me. That means Shaul still is the same Shaul, the same righteous person. And we should not lose sight of that, even though we're reading about a jealous man who's hunting an innocent man. We should not lose sight that this is based on the Ruach Ra, that he is not of sound mind. That is why he can't stop what's happening. So, it doesn't mean, I'm going to emphasize again, it doesn't mean he's not blameless. There is an element of blame on him, but it is much less than you would expect from what's being described over here. It's on his Madrego. We really need to move along. We're not going to be able to finish. So, here, David comes and he describes to Shmuel all that's going on. So now he says to Shmuel, there's only one thing we can do. We got to do something. There's only one thing we can do. Let's figure out where the Beis HaMikdash goes. So, what is that? So you'll recall that we described before, when we talked about Yonah's son and Michal and David, we described before how Shaul is going to lose the throne. He knows he's going to lose the throne. Everybody knows he's going to lose the throne. But there could still be, in theory, a way for Shaul's legacy to continue with David. Mm-hmm. And that is by being part of what's going on in a supportive role. It can't be Shaul himself, but Yonasan could. Michal can as his wife. Things like that can happen. The Gemara tells us that we Jews have three mitzvos that have to be performed when we get to Eretz Yisrael. One, we have to have a king. We have to crown a king. That's one. Two, before that,
wipe out
Amalek. Three, build the Beis HaMikdash. The king was crowned, Shaul. He almost wiped out Amalek. It failed. That's why he's going to lose his royalty. Now, what about the next step? Does that mean you can't take the next step? You got the king. You almost wiped out Amalek, but not quite. Now what? Are you allowed to take the next step? Says David, of course, you still take the next step. Even though Amalek still is around, which means there's a flaw over here, and that flaw is a flaw which cannot be corrected right now for whatever reason. Amalek cannot be destroyed right now, maybe down the line, but not now. But life goes on, and we go to the next step, the Beis HaMikdash. I'm the new king. Now, I have not been publicly crowned as king. It's only been a private thing. But you and I, you, Shmuel, you and me, we know that I'm the real king. We got to take the next step, Beis HaMikdash. Why? Why take the next step? Because as long as Shaul is hunting me, which is what's happening, and David knows this is not going to end here. It's going to go on. After this, he's going to run away again. It's going to go on. But we need to make a statement that the mission of the Jewish people continues, which the next step is build the Beis HaMikdash. We still have a king. His name is Shaul. Whenever he dies, I'm the next king. But there's still a king. And therefore, the next step is Beis HaMikdash. And David says, now is the time to move on to the next step. Why now? Because by moving on to the next step, then we are going to show not just the Jewish people, but Shaul himself that we've got to keep going over here. Shaul can't build the Beis HaMikdash because he's losing his throne. So he can't build the Beis HaMikdash. But the next king can. If you're not going to accept me as your general, you're not going to accept me as the supporting cast that I was playing. David was playing the role of a supporter of Shaul. So David says, I need to be able to show that I am the next king and I'm the rightful king. And I need it to be clear that this is the next step. So he says to Shmuel, let us get involved in the Beis HaMikdash. The first thing to do is, it's academic at first. We got to open up the books and figure out what are we talking about over here. That's the first step. And that will show then I'm the next king. Now, how will it show? Well, it depends what happens. If we get involved in the Beis HaMikdash, and Shaul comes, and he is able to attack and take me, well, then that proves that, well, I'm not really fit to be king, or I really, it's not time for me to be king, or whatever. But it's not the appropriate step to take. But if by getting involved, there is a protection that falls over me, then that will show that I am the rightful king. Although I'm not showing it now, and I'm not going to assert myself now, but it will be yet another proof to Shaul and to everybody that I am the next king. Because only the king can build the Beis HaMikdash. And so they get involved. They get involved, and Shaul sends agents. The agents come, and they are overwhelmed by the prophecy. As Shmuel and David are involved in the where to put the Beis HaMikdash, prophecy becomes powerful where they are. And that prophecy is so powerful, it envelops anybody who steps into that cocoon. And as the agents come, boom, they become prophets. The second set, boom, they become prophets. A third set. Shaul is not willing to accept this. He's not willing to accept that this is the correct thing. There's something wrong. There's something amiss. He keeps sending groups. Maybe the first ones, there was something wrong with their intentions. Maybe there was something strange that happened. I don't know. We'll send the second, send the third. He's got an answer for what's happening. Then he goes himself. He says, I'll go myself. I can't believe this is happening. Remember, he's still in his state of Ruach Ra. In that state, he can't accept that David is anything but evil, and there's got to be a fluke over here. What's going on? I can't believe this. So Shaul goes himself. He gets to the big pit where the water hole is. That is in Sechu. Again, we'll talk about Sechu in a moment. And he says, where are Shmuel and David? The Malbim says that at this point, since he was on his way, once he's coming himself, he expects Shmuel and David to come to him. Because he's the king. So if I'm the king, you don't wait for me to get to you. If you hear that I'm coming myself, you come to greet me. Where are they? He didn't mean what location are they in. I know what location they're in. Where are they? So he's told they are in Nayos Barama. They're still involved in this holy work of where is the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So Shaul goes himself. And Shaul gets the prophecy. That means Shaul goes from having a Ruach Ra'a, and now he goes through a process which is almost an exact replica of what happened when he became king. Because he too becomes involved now in this process of the Makom HaMikdash. Anybody who came into that group of prophets was prophesying in the same vein as Shmuel and David about what? About the Beis HaMikdash. Which means that anybody here is now an accessory to discovering the place of the Beis HaMikdash. All the other ones become accessories, but only minor accessories. Shaul comes, and he gets overwhelmed by the prophecy well in advance of having gotten there, and then holds on to it for a whole day and night. Which means that Shaul's connection to royalty, to being able to be an accessory to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, is still real. He's not a minor player. He's a major player, is Shaul. So this not only emphasizes for everybody that David is fit to be king, but it also emphasizes that Shaul can still be a part of it. He doesn't have to be written off. That, remember, we keep saying, how could David become king? Shaul's got to die and all his kids got to die. But it doesn't have to be that way. Shaul can become an accessory to David. And that's what happens over here. The roles get reversed. David is the main one schlepping Shmuel along with his idea. He doesn't schlep Shmuel along, but it's his idea, and he and Shmuel, but primarily him, they get involved in this, creating this aura of prophecy, and Shaul can become a major accessory to it. But what is Sechu? This is crucial. What is Seichu? There's one other place where the word Seichu is used. Now, Seichu is spelled Sin Chaf Vav. Now, not with the same vowels, but the same letters are used. The same, you know, the Sin and the Samach are sometimes interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Samach Chaf Vav, you get Sukko, His Sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
What is Hashem's Sukkah?
The Beis
HaMikdash is Hashem's Sukkah. Of all places, in Eicha, which we read on Tisha B'Av about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in Perek Beis chapter 2, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, it says, Vayachmos Kagan Sukko, and Hashem cut down like a garden, like you cut down fruits or things in a garden, Sukko, His Sukkah. But it's not spelled with a Samach. It's spelled with a Sin. Sin Chaf Vav. The reference over here to Seichu is much too similar to this word Sukko to be ignored. But more than that, why in Eicha is it spelled with a Sin instead of a Samach? Why Sin Chaf Vav instead of Samach Chaf Vav? Why? Let's put it on the board. We see it. This is the way it's spelled in... That's the way it's spelled in Eicha, with a Sin. Normally it would be spelled with a Samach.
Mm-hmm.
You could put above here, or you don't put above there. Su... That's the way it would normally be spelled. Why is Sin and not a Samach? Says Rashi, and let me read the Rashi and I'll put the word up on the board. Says Rashi, Sukkah means me'onaso, his dwelling, which means his sukkah, where Hashem, so to speak, Kiviyachol, lives. Says Rashi, but Sukkah Chsiv, it says it with a Sin, not with a Samach. Why? Because when you spell with a Sin, you can also read it as a Shin.
Yeah.
In which case, Sheshichich Chamaso al Banav, then Hashem let's translate this well. Well, hold on. He was Shichich, his anger on his children, Bechorban Beso, with the destruction of his house.
Not poured out.
No. It's the same word as in Megillah Esther, where it says that after Vashti was killed, and later after Haman was killed, Vachamas Hamelech Shachacha, abated, right? It diminished.
Yeah.
Hashem is a better word for it. He, not poured out, he
dissipated,
let go of his anger on the Jewish people through the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This word can also be to, this verb of Sin Chaf can also be read Shach. Shach means to abate, to let go, to become calmed. Hashem calmed himself. To be awful, of course. Hashem isn't really angry. But he calmed himself of his anger through the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Beis HaMikdash, which should be spelled with a Samach, is spelled with a Sin, because the Beis HaMikdash becomes the way that Hashem removes his anger without destroying the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
The Gemara says that's also why it's called a Mishkan. Mishkan, which means tabernacle, Mishkan can also be Mashkon. Mashkon means a collateral that Hashem took away as a collateral. He took away the Beis HaMikdash as a collateral for His people to return to Him. Rather than destroying His people, He said, I'm taking back my Beis HaMikdash. If you want it back, do Teshuvah. It's the Gemara says that He poured out His anger al ha'etzim v'al ha'avanim on the stones and on the wood and on the stones, rather than on His people. Of course, a lot of people were killed also, but the people as a whole lived. And that is the one of the functions of the Beis HaMikdash. If it's not going to last forever, it's going to function as a way for the Jewish people to survive. Says David HaMelech to Shmuel, there is a flaw here. Amalek was not destroyed. Because of that, Shaul can't go on. Because of that, the plan of Hashem is not going perfectly. That means that the Beis HaMikdash, which I am going to build, is likely going to end. But it will not end for no reason. It will be the method through which Hashem will preserve His people. So even as we're going through all of these problems, Shaul didn't kill out Amalek. Shaul now has a Ruach Ra. I'm the Mashiach Hashem. I'm the Anointed One of Hashem, and He's chasing me to kill me. How bad can it get? As bad as it is, the Jewish people have to go on, build the Beis HaMikdash. May not be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. If it's not perfect, it will still act as the kapara, as the atonement for the Jewish people. As long as it is up and running, then all of the karbanos, all the sacrifices will be our kapara, will be our atonement. If it is, God forbid, destroyed, the destruction itself will be our atonement. That is the function of the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of a Beis HaMikdash is to atone for the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. I believe I've mentioned this to you before, that in the Haggadah, when we say Dayenu, and we sing Dayenu, so we say, no matter what, you know, even if he would have taken us out of Egypt, but he wouldn't have destroyed their gods. We still say it's enough. We have enough to thank God for no matter what he did. Then after that, there's a whole paragraph. Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so. He did so many things for us, we have to thank Hashem. And we go through the whole list of the Dayenu. He took us out of Egypt. Then he destroyed their gods. Then he gave us their money. The whole thing, all the way through. And it goes through, and he gave us the Torah, and he brought us here to Israel, and he built us a Beis HaMikdash. And then there's one more line. L'chaper al avonoseinu. To atone for all of our sins. That's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. David says, if this is all going on, that's not a time to stop and not build the Beis HaMikdash. Now is the time to specifically get into building the Beis HaMikdash. Now is the time to do that, because we desperately need to have that atonement. And that's why he gets involved. And that's why over here the place Sehu is emphasized, because he came to Sehu. Sehu is the same word as Sukkot, as the Beis HaMikdash, but with the Sin, not the Samach, to emphasize this point that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to atone for the Jewish people. So what we have then is an interlude in the chase against David. It's not going to stop here. It's going to continue. There will be an attempt to try to stop it. There'll be actually a couple more attempts. Yonatan is going to get involved. We're going to have the famous episode of David cutting off the edge of the garment of Shaul. We're going to have many different things that are going to happen where there's going to be attempts to at least, if not stop it, but to call a truce or something, but in a way that we won't have the same kind of thing. But this is an interlude. The interlude is David realizes we're in for a long haul here. This is not going to stop here. We're in big trouble over here. We have the great Shaul, who's beset by a Ruach Ra that he can't control, and he's chasing me to kill me, and I'm the Mashiach Hashem. You don't think Hashem knows what's going on? He knows it's happening. He has me set up like this. Why is it happening? I don't know why it's happening, but it's happening. The Jews are not in great shape over here. We need the next step, the Beis HaMikdash. Let's get involved in that. We'll get involved in that. It will affect me. It will affect Shaul. It will make a clear statement to the people. We move on with the Beis HaMikdash for atonement, and Shaul will be a part of that. Even after Shaul dies, the fact of the matter is, he was involved in this finding out the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Doeg becomes intensely jealous of David over here, because it is here for the first time that it is obvious that David is going to take the throne. Mm-hmm. Even though we said before that Doeg already knew about that, others didn't. We said before that Doeg must have known, he must have been there when Shmuel privately anointed David. Doeg must have been there and seen it, because he knows about it. But this solidifies that he is the next king. Doeg, who doesn't like David, who believes in Shaul, this is what seals his jealousy. This will therefore lead to the destruction of Nov, because it is Doeg who will incite Shaul to kill out Nov. And this is where it's going to happen. Okay, I think we covered a lot in a very short time. we have to stop in just a minute. If anyone has a question, yeah.
Does Doeg have any allusions that he could be king?
It's not clear to me that that's the case. It's not clear to me. David has two different people. Achitophel later on is going to be also against David. Achitophel wants to be king. He wants to be king.
He does.
Yeah. But Doeg, it's not clear that that's the case. It could be he did, but it's unclear that's the case.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.